You find other people that maybe have been through something like this. You keep breathing and you keep the messages that you tell yourself positive.
That's psychic medium Jody Levon on Dealing with Times of Crisis, up next on the Paranormal Podcast.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. And over the years of doing this show, I definitely have my list of favorite guests over the years. And our guest today is at the top of that list. I'm talking about the happy medium, Jody Levon. And we're going to talk about mediumship. We're going to talk about psychic work. And today we're also going to talk about maybe something that we've not talked as much about in the past. We are going to talk about how the psychic world can come into play and help us when we're dealing in times of crisis. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's a personal crisis of sickness or death of a loved one. Maybe it's a personal health crisis. Whatever it might be, how can this realm assist you in working through all of that and coming out on the other end? And Jody, and I have her permission to say this, has recently had a very major health challenge, and she has come out on the other side of it stronger. And I had mentioned to her, I follow her religiously on social media, and she's just carried herself through such grace during the whole process. And I thought it'd be interesting to get her perspective on this, because I think so many people deal with so many challenging factors, and anything that we can use to help us in those times, I think, is so important. Jody, welcome to the show. And again, congratulations on your progress and really just carrying yourself with tremendous grace and in showing us what it means to be a fighter and a winner.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. This is such a thrill for me to be here. I was so excited when I got your email inviting me back on, and I took it as a really positive sign. So thank you very much. I love everything you do, and you have the most incredible, authentic vibration.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I don't want to dwell on it too long, and I don't want to get too personal, but maybe you could share with people what's been happening recently. And when we talk about the challenge piece, maybe talk about some of the challenges you've faced of late.
Sure. So last summer, I kept having a series of really bad visions that I was going to die over and over and over again. And I went in for a routine MRI. I'm on the high risk list because I have so many family members that have had breast cancer. So I went in for a routine MRI, and as I walked up to check in, my life flashed in front of me. And I thought, this is not good. And it wasn't. So they are amazing at Piper Breast Center in Minneapolis. They found a very, 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 very small tumor in my left breast. And after another series of tests, it was determined that I needed to have surgery. And it was the kind that is a nightmare. And I did have it, and there were some complications afterwards with an infection. And I ended up having 6 surgeries within a year. And then I had chemo. And chemo is a miracle drug. And I had something called Herceptin, also a miracle drug. And I am done with it all. All of it is behind me. So it was a challenge. I did almost die. And that was very strange. But I kept practicing what I preach. I kept thinking of the most positive things that I could. And believe me, I cried. Boy, did I cry. Cried so hard. Cried my eyes out. Wake up crying. It was terrible. So I had my feelings about it, but I wanted to live. And I wanted to experience more life. And this may sound really shallow. I wanted to wear earrings again. And most of all, I wanted to hug my kids. So I just kept my attitude as positive as I could. And I guess God wanted me here still, so here I am.
And I mean, I've got to assume that on some days, some of the worst days, that that could be tough to do. How did you keep that positive outlook and keep drawing upon your expertise and, as you said, practice what you preach?
Well, the first thing I have to say is not very romantic or beautiful. I vomited my emotions out. You know, when you're sick to your tummy and you can't help it, that's how it felt to me. And I just kept processing and talking as absolutely much as I could for as long as I could. There was a point where I was so sick, I actually couldn't talk anymore. But I went inside of myself and I talked to God. So I just kept processing. And I didn't always seem confident at all. But I kept doing what I needed to do to empty myself out of my fear so I could think in a positive light. And I always knew, obviously, that someday we're all going to die. But when that someday is presented to you, you think, well, what haven't I done? And I realized there were things that I didn't do that I wanted to do. And so it made me feel like I got another chance. And so I just kept thinking of all the positive things that I could. I spoke up for myself. And to be quite frank, if I wouldn't have spoken up for myself, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this interview with you, because I went against what the doctor at the time wanted me to do and insisted I had surgery, and I'm here. And so that gave me strength. And the fact that I know one day I'm going to cross over, I'm not afraid of that. I just wasn't ready to leave my family yet. And I think there are a lot of people who aren't ready to leave their family, and they still leave their family. And I'm sorry about that. Obviously, we can still connect with our family from the other side. I just felt like there was other things I really wanted to do, and I've been doing them. And that's a large part how I did this, is I don't care if it doesn't look pretty. I don't care if I don't look pretty. Okay, sometimes I care if I look pretty. But during that process, it was about me processing my stuff. And that's how I got through it. And you know, one of the worst things is spiritual bypassing. I didn't know I did it, but thinking that I shouldn't be having these negative feelings about somebody that made a mistake with my life, or negative feelings about why did this happen. And I thought, well, everybody's going to have that. I never had a why me, because, you know, why not? And there's a lot of poisons out there that we're drinking and eating, et cetera. I just struggled with the pain of it all and decided that there's nothing unspiritual about being real. And I've always known that, but I really put it into play. And so that's what I did. I put that into play. I just had my feelings, processed them, and kept reaching for the kinder thought, the nicer thought, something funny. Humor is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And what was really funny is I got flowers, and I would keep them around even when they were dying. And then I would tease my husband to have long conversations about life after death for a flower. I just kept finding ways to have fun.
No, I think that's really really instructive. And it goes back, there was an author many, many years ago, 40, 50 years ago, Norman Cousins, who wrote a book about the power of laughter in the face of serious illness. One last thing I want to ask you about this particular journey, or mention, because I think it's so important for people to hear. And then I want to talk more about how maybe it's informed your psychic work. But the thing that I love about what you just explained to us is that you really took a holistic approach. The thing that I hate to hear, and I kind of get angry when I hear somebody in the spiritual realm say something like, well, I don't need the doctors, and I don't need the pills, and I don't need the surgery. I will tune into the psychic vibrations of the universe and heal myself 100%. I don't need your medicine. And I think that's so irresponsible. That's just my belief.
Me too.
What I'm hearing from you, and what I really like, is you saw that there was a place, an important place for the spiritual, and that was crucial. But so were the good medical people, maybe not somebody you had a bad experience with, but the good medical people. You talked, for example, about the people at Piper. Very important and crucial, and you need that piece, and you never want to overlook that piece. You need to be an advocate, because Dar and I talk about that all the time. We've had experiences with family where we've been advocates and stopped something that would have been wrong. Dar was an advocate when she had thyroid cancer, and we shut down something that would have been wrong. But being an advocate, but having respect for medicine and its role, and keeping the spiritual too, because really it's about both. You know, I always say I'll never have a guest on who tells Aunt Myrtle to throw away your cancer pills. I'll never do it, because that is reprehensible. But what you're explaining to me, I think that's the way to approach it.
Well, thank you. You know, and I also went to a place called M Health, and I trusted my oncologist, and he would listen to me. And that made a big difference. But that's the spiritual bypassing piece, is thinking that you don't need the medicine. The medicine was created, the universe, i.e. God, helped create all of that too. And that is to help us. This is I have a physical body. It's finite. I may be infinite as a being, but I have a finite body, and it's of the earth, and I need help taking care of it. I was very open to it. In fact, before I did chemo, and chemo is no dance. Before I did chemo, I'd be like, all right, I am open to this miracle drug. I even did a post. I think it said something like, I have a crush on chemo. Something like that on my blog. And people were like really surprised, but I did, because chemo is a miracle drug. Yes, chemo is very difficult, but what it does for your body is it helps your body not remember making cancer. At least that's what it did for me. And so it lessens the chance of it coming back for me. I'm all in on that. I'm 100% in on that. What I do with my body afterwards is very, very important. How I treat my body and how I think of myself. And I don't have cancer. They took the cancer out, long gone, and it was teeny. And the chances of it coming back are very, very, very minute, especially because what I'm doing, I'm welcoming these drugs. I'm welcoming these things. That doesn't mean I traded my spirituality. Being a person that is wise and listening to what is brought to us from very educated people, that's spiritual.
And I believe that people get inspiration to create treatments like that through God. I think that that's part of the inspiration. I certainly do. Now, how do you think, or how do you feel thus far? And I know that this is all relatively recent, but how do you think it's informing your work as a psychic medium and working with other people?
I think it's added so many layers of depth because, and I mean, not to toot my own horn, I feel like I already had a lot of this depth, but it's so much more, because that coming so close to dying and that realizing really what matters, it's sort of like when the stay-at-home order was, and we were going through things with the pandemic and kind of figuring out who it is you want to get in front of, because there were so many people to try to get in front of afterwards or during. It sifts things for you. And so when I'm doing a reading, the reading is sifted too. Like, what is it that this person really needs? And on a broader perspective, when I write from a spiritual standpoint, what is it that's going to benefit everybody? Of course, I write to benefit me. That's the truth. And when it benefits other people, that's a bonus. But I think it makes you get rid of the fluff. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean you don't get to wear sparkly earrings from Claire's Boutique. It just means the fluff. I don't care about what other people think. I mean, I didn't care before, and now I really don't care, because I think when people try to put that on me, that's bullying me, and I won't be bullied. I think that's a big part of it. And so when I work with people, I help them understand that their thoughts, their negative thoughts about themselves, those are bullies. And how you can neutralize that and just stand up for it. And I also understand dead people more. I know that sounds really funny. I've never said that out loud. But I do. I understand dead people more, because maybe they felt like there were things that they didn't get to accomplish. And through working through me and through connecting with their loved ones, they get to kind of finish things up on some level. And also understanding our connection with all of those on the other side is so real. We are literally a heartbeat away from them. It's so real. That's just another life. And we can learn from them, and we can learn from all of the beautiful things out there, UFOs. There's all these things that we can learn from. But most of all, we have to dig our feet into the earth and live this life on this planet, because that's why we're here.
A powerful message from Jody Levon, the Happy Medium. We'll be back right after this. The Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Calm. Well, you know how it goes. Your day is filled with all of those to-dos, laundry, emails, errands, cooking, dinner. And before you know it, you're preparing to do it all again tomorrow. And I ask you, when is there time to focus on what you need? Well, with Calm, you can prioritize your most important to do, which is taking time for yourself each day. And that's why I'm so proud to continue to partner with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations, improve focus with curated music tracks, and rest and recharge with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults. There's even new daily movement sessions designed to relax your body and uplift your mind. And if you go to calm.com/gym, you'll get a special offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds, and that includes me. Calm is ready to help you stress less, sleep more, and live a happier, healthier life. And we all love Calm here at the Herald household. Just the other night, I was listening to one of their sleep stories. It was great. And the narrator on that one is Alicia Mason. How talented is she? And it's called the Pacific Crest Trail. And I'll read the description because it really says it very well. Find serenity as you journey through mountains, lakes, and meadows on this iconic long-distance trek from California to Canada. Now, I'd love to say that I listened to the whole thing, and I guess I did in my sleep, but I got partially through it, and boy, it just kind of calmed me, settled me down, no pun intended, and just lulled me off to sleep. Beautiful nature sounds. Alicia's great, great narration. A very good story. Just a great way to go to get that relaxation time, that me time. And it's really important for me because I'm one of those idea people. I'm always thinking of ideas for the shows and so forth. It helps shut me down. And I need that. I need that relaxation. And I'm guessing you could use it too. So, for listeners of the Paranormal Podcast, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/gym. Go to calm.com/gym for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/gym. And please do support them and put that URL in there, calm.com/gym, because I want people to know that you guys listen to this show too. And show the love to the Paranormal Podcast, calm.com/gym. We thank you so much. Show the love to Calm because they support us and they have such a great, great app. Thanks, Calm.
If you love the Paranormal Podcast, be sure to check out Jim Harold's Campfire, where ordinary people share their extraordinary stories of ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, and terrifying encounters. Find it for free wherever you listen to this podcast. Tune in to Jim Harold's Campfire today. Now we return to the Paranormal Podcast.
We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest today is Jody Levon, the happy medium. But today she's talking with us about the psychic world, the psychic realm, and how it comes into play when you're in crisis. And as we said in the first segment, Jody is doing great these days, but she's come through a very significant event battling breast cancer, and she brought all the forces to bear, medical, spiritual, to get her in this healthy place. And we're so glad she's doing well and she's with us today. Jody, I've got to think, this is just from my perspective. I've done a reading with you and I was very impressed and enjoyed it immensely. And that was a while back. Let's say that today I had a serious illness that I was dealing with. I've got as much, and I'm not, thankfully, as far as I know, but let's say that I were, and I were to come to you today and I knew what happened to you. I've got to be honest with you. You would have more credibility in what you said to me about that today than you would have had a few years ago, because now I know that you've gone through it too. Are you finding that with clients? Are you finding that this has brought a certain level of, you know, I mean, people see you on TV, you write books, you look great. I mean, and people think, oh, this glamorous person who is a psychic, you know, she's great, but what does she really know about an everyday person's life? And maybe she's saying all this stuff, but she can't really relate to me because I've got this really horrible thing happening. And those kind of things don't happen to people like Jody. But now that this has happened to you, and you're being pretty public about it, do you think that adds depth in that sense that people relate to you more and feel that, oh, she understands because she's gone through it too.
Yes. And the way you just explained that sort of explains it more to me as to why. Yes, it's what I've gone through, I think, is really relatable. And I would start to write about it, and sort of like you do in a journal, and I would post some of it, and the response that I would get, 500 likes within, you know, a really short amount of time. Now, that for me, in my little social media, that was huge, or more of those in comments, because people have gone through it. And a lot of people have said, you've put into words what I've been experiencing, because it's lonely when you've gone through something like this. It's lonely. It really is a journey within. And so when there's somebody that you can relate to, that they're going through their own journey, it validates the love that you have in your heart and your own survival, because that's really it. You have to get back to that feeling of love. And trust me when I say this, that was not the first thing around me when I was diagnosed. I hit the floor praying, and then I hit the ground crying. But I brought myself back up by, like I said, the honesty and talking about it. And the thing about being psychic is, I've always said I don't see the future, and I don't. I don't see the future. I don't feel the future. I do get flashes of what may be. And I did get those for months before this happened. I actually thought I was going to be murdered. How awful to say that, and poo-poo-poo that didn't happen. But I understand why I got that vision. I put it to good use, thinking I'm going to do more and I'm going to get myself in a good place and get more exercise. When it happened, I had to say to myself, okay, that was my psychic heads up. But after I was diagnosed, everything shut down. I'm going to tear up even saying this. All of a sudden, there were no more psychic anythings for a while. It was quiet. And I had to rely on what I knew, my heart, my intellect, and quite frankly, my husband. And not everybody has somebody to rely on like that, but he has been a rock, an amazing rock during all of this awful stuff. And I think there are a lot of people out there with friends that can do that. And also there's tons of associations that want to help and will connect you with people that can help. Firefly, Sisterhood, there's one for men too, or for everybody. It's for everybody to have somebody to rely on. It wasn't until I went through the motions and followed what I knew I was supposed to do that all of a sudden the intuition started opening up again. But isn't that fascinating? I had to go on what I already knew, because I had to rely on things of the body. And I'm smart enough to know that that was good. And I didn't panic when the intuition shut down. I was afraid. And when you're afraid, your intuition isn't always so alive. You might listen to the wrong thing. So I didn't listen to anything but my intellect, my heart, my husband. And if I got a little tweak from somebody on the other side, that was helpful too. And I did. My dad sat with me. My grandma sat with me. So what could happen is, when you're in that kind of place, the people that love you, you might think, oh my gosh, they're coming to get me, but they're not. They're there to support you. You have support from your angels, your guides, your loved ones on the other side, and you can reach for support here. And that is important as you go through it. Nobody is alone. You're never alone. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox.
So let's say, okay, you have this long time ability and to tap into these things. And it was even challenging at times for you, as you said. So how does the average person, let's say they're doing everything their doctor says, they're taking all the treatments, or maybe it's not even a health situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. They're facing bankruptcy, or maybe there's a breakup of a marriage, or, you know, God forbid, the loss of a child or a loss of another significant loved one. In any of these instances, how does the average person tap into the psychic realm to assist them through whatever the crisis might be? Because I assume, as hard as it was for you, it might even be harder for the average person because they don't have that skill set, or it's at least not developed.
I love that question. So you bring yourself out of terror. You bring yourself out of terror by, you hire the best physicians you can, the best financial analysts that you can, financial planners, if it's something with finance, the best attorneys, the best therapists. You hire people to help you. Those are your soldiers, your team. You get a really good team. And then you make sure that you're keeping your eye on what's happening. And then you let your shoulders come down and you breathe, because you hired your team. And then you go through the motions that you're supposed to go through the motions. You find other people that maybe have been through something like this. You keep breathing and you keep the messages that you tell yourself positive. You keep that negative narrator in the back of your mind, otherwise occupied with chewing gum. So you can have that positive narrator telling you, it's going to be all right. Here's one thing you won't have to do again. Here's one chemo treatment you won't have to do again. You just did it. Here's one meeting with the financial expert you won't have to go through again because you just did it. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you'll start to get these little leads inside of you where you get pulled in a direction that you should go, and that's your intuition, and that's part of your team. And you start listening to that as well, and you just sort of put it all into like an orchestra. It sounds really maybe sappy, but that is really how it works. You make sure you're taking care of things physically, your body, your finances, and you then open up to the other realm.
I remember that song, and I think it came from Ecclesiastics. Turn, turn, turn. For everything there is a season, turn, turn, turn. And time to plant, time to pluck up, and all that stuff. The point being that you've been through this season of dealing with this situation. This situation, I mean, I'm sure it's something you're always going to carry with you. It's always going to be a part of you. But this part has ended, and in a good way. So what's next?
What's next? I'm so excited. All those things that I said, hey, I didn't get time to do that. I was given another chance. I'm doing it. So I'm going to be doing these. I wanted to start this beforehand, and now I have even more ideas about how to help people learn to be more insightful themselves, to learn to read themselves, to use their intuition in everyday life from the very tip of the iceberg, like grounding, and how to do it. I'm going to be selling like little mini podcasts on that or little mini sessions on my website. That is a very big thing that I'm going to be doing, and I'm excited to do that. I do have another book that was going to be published actually last year. Things took a turn and it changed, and I'm now adding the piece about having breast cancer and how that fits in to your intuition and how you rely on all these different areas in your life to help you get through, including your intuition. But again, how you take that negative narrator and change it to a positive narrator so you can write a positive story into your life, because we do write so much of it. The biggest thing, Jim, that I want to say is we are responsible for so much of our life. And there, the law of attraction, I really believe in that. But you see, it's what we do with what we get that matters the most, because there are some things we just don't control. We can't control, but it's what we do with what we get. And that is really what I'm launching off of, really probably for the rest of my life.
Now, I wanted to mention something because I've heard people say things like this, and I want to make sure I know you're not saying this, and I want to say that I do not endorse it. But some people, when people have a health challenge, they say, well, it's your fault. You brought it into your life with negative thinking. But I subscribe to what you just said. It's more not what happens to you, it's how you deal with it, because everybody's going to have stuff.
100%.
There's different gradations of stuff, but everybody has stuff. And I could wake up tomorrow, go to the doctor, and have cancer. I could have a heart attack tonight. I mean, and I hate when I say something like that. God forbid it comes true. And it's like, oh, I was onto something. But the point is we all have stuff. But the people in my life who I've admired the most have been the people who have reacted with it in such a way. And that doesn't mean that you're always happy, or in some days you're going to be cranky and whatever, because when you have bad things, it's just natural to have those feelings. But on an overall arch that you try to be brave, you do the best you can, you try to keep the people up around you, and you try to fight it. And it's the old lemons and lemonade thing. Again, I don't think you can be blamed if you have a heart attack. I mean, yeah, maybe, for example, if I had a heart attack tomorrow, I would say, you know, lifestyle, too sedentary, probably don't eat the best foods, those kind of things. But I wouldn't say that I'm some awful person or something like that. It's not because I thought bad thoughts.
Or that you drew it to you.
Right, exactly. Other than by eating a Big Mac. Maybe that did. But you get my point. So I don't want people to feel like, oh, I have this illness. It must be my thought because of negative thinking.
Yes, that is what tortured me at the very beginning, because as much as I would never have said that to somebody else and I didn't believe it, I was wondering if I was doing it to myself. That's what I mean about spiritual bypassing. I do not believe that we draw those awful things to us. How could we? How could an infant born without one eye draw that to them? I don't believe that at all. I think what happens is we can be sticky for the good or sticky for the icky. The stuff is presented to us. Which part do we want to draw to us? Which part are we going to be sticky for? We are going to be sticky for the good stuff by processing it in a way that brings it to us without beating ourselves up over that happening. I think that is a mistake in the understanding of the law of attraction, personally speaking. I do not think we draw all those awful things to us. I think they're out there. I think we can be more susceptible to the good stuff when we change our thoughts and our patterns. We can find better parking spaces. But does that mean I drew this cancer to me? Absolutely not. This is just was in my family's, the food I'm eating, or even though I eat organic. Things happen. S-H-I-T happens. It's what you do with it that matters most. And that's the most empowering. That's the most empowering. I am no victim here. I didn't victimize myself. I'm no victim. And neither is anyone else. Take it for what it is and launch from there and have fun. We are here to have fun.
It's interesting because I think that when we see superstars, and we see that, for example, with social media, you see superstars and these big movie stars and so forth. You think, oh, they've got the perfect life. But they have stuff too. I mean, how many, you know, there's not a movie star that's, you know, from the 1920s who's still alive. I don't think. My point is they die too. They have illnesses, diseases, bad things happen to them. So I think it's so crucial we have to remember on both sides of the fence. I compare it, and I try to get this across to my kids. To me, life is like a roller coaster. And you're going to have those incredible ups and you're going to have those down. And that just comes with the territory of being alive. It's how you ride out the roller coaster and try to, and to some extent you can build your own roller coaster in the sense of you can extend those highs or you can enjoy things more when they're good. But on a good day, I mean, sometimes I'll remember this, put this in the memory bank, because someday there's going to be a bad day.
Right. That's what I replayed in my mind all the time, are all the wonderful things that have happened for me, all the beauty, how loved I am. I floated in that energy about how loved I am. And I've had the honor of reading some of those very famous people, and they all have their stuff. We all have our stuff. And it's, again, what we do with what we get. And sometimes those people are famous because they're examples, as we like them so much because they're being, for us, they're an example of, wow, that looks like fun. I want to live that life. And then you find out that they're living such a human life. It's more empowering. Isn't it? It's like, just like you just said, it's more empowering. We're all here to do this. We're here to grow. We're here to learn to forgive. So much we're learning to forgive and to take the good stuff. And I focus on the good stuff for the most part. I mean, I'm a worrier and I have anxiety. I just keep turning it towards focusing on the good stuff. I mean, remember my long curly hair? Mm-hmm. I loved my long curly hair. And I had it cut short because I did something called cold capping. So I got to keep my hair, but now I have it short. And for me, it's like a representation of that I've changed. I've changed. Now I'm enjoying my hair, but it's short. And I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying every minute of my life. And I think we all, once we go through something big, that helps drive that home more for us. But we don't have to go through something big to think that. We can just say to ourselves, I am in charge of a lot of my life. And what I'm in charge of, I'm going to make the absolute best of. And the other stuff that's really icky, I'm going to get myself through that so I can have more fun.
There you go. Our guest is Jody Levon, the Happy Medium, and we'll be back right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. The Paranormal Podcast is brought to you by Parabox. If you love the paranormal puzzles and great t-shirts, then you need to get Parabox. The mind behind Parabox, Jim Hamilton, is with us. What is Parabox exactly?
Well, Jim, Parabox is essentially an apparel company that creates interactive t-shirts. We offer a t-shirt subscription to our paranormal themed shirts, and our tees are a bit different than the normal department store tee. They're designed to give the recipient not only an awesome soft style t-shirt, but also provide some puzzling entertainment.
Me and my family absolutely love these shirts. They're really great. Explain what you do with the t-shirts, Jim.
Currently, we have two different themes. The first being the paranormal, which your listeners would absolutely love. These shirts feature topics like ghosts and haunted locations, aliens, cryptids, and other strange stories. We have a national parks line, and we're currently working on a third series called World Wonders, where we explore some of the planet's most interesting places.
Where do you get these great ideas for these shirts?
Ideas come from obviously listening to you and to other podcasts, as well as from back in the 80s when I was a paranormal junkie as a kid. I was fascinated by unsolved mysteries, In Search Of, and that's incredible.
The t-shirts themselves are really high quality. Tell us about that.
The tees we print on are extremely soft and comfy, and they're a cotton poly blend, so they won't shrink when you wash them. And they're durable too. Actually, right now I'm wearing one of the tees that we printed back in 2017, and it still looks and feels great.
Now, they're not just great shirts, but there's also like a gamification aspect to it, right?
Yes, there is. It was designed to be more than just a shirt. Both our paranormal and our national park tees come with a content card. The card further explains the theme, and it has a web address printed on it for you to visit. The web address is secured with a password, which can only be found hidden in the design of the shirt. If you can successfully unlock the website, you'll find our monthly challenge. And if you can correctly solve our challenge, you'll be entered into a drawing for free Parabox merchandise.
So, Jim, where can people get Parabox?
Jim, if your listeners want to head on over to our website, paraboxmonthly.com/Jim, they can receive a promo code for 25% off. And that discount code is good for either our paranormal tees or our national park tees.
So now it's time to get Parabox. Just go to paraboxmonthly.com/Jim. That's paraboxmonthly.com/Jim. And get that deal for 25% off a Parabox monthly subscription. I highly recommend it. Thanks, Parabox. No purchase necessary to be entered into their monthly drawing. Details at paraboxmonthly.com.
Follow Jim on Twitter and Instagram at TheJimHerald. And join our virtual campfire Facebook group at virtualcampfiregroup.com. Now back to the Paranormal Podcast.
We're back for our final segment this go around with Jody Levon, the happy medium. And we're talking all about the psychic realm and how we can approach crisis events in our lives and come back bigger, better, and stronger for them. Jody, we've talked about, you've mentioned some of them, but could you give us a couple more simple strategies that people can employ in times of crisis that bring that kind of psychic energy and the psychic realm to bear in times of crisis?
Yes, I would love to. The first one is put things in perspective. So when things are racing in the back of your mind, just quietly put things in perspective. And then you put one foot in front of the other. One thought that's as positive as you can reach for in front of the other, so you can just know that you're going to get through it and remember the other things that you went through. So that's how you soothe yourself. The next thing is remember you have to breathe. And when you learn to just keep your breath regular, your intuition starts to really open doors for you because you're drawn in a certain way when you can keep your breath even. When you know, okay, this is bad, I'm going to get through this, I've been through things before. And you listen to yourself breathe, you change your heartbeat, you bring everything down. Then you open up to that realm of guidance. And you might start getting chills on your arms or drawn to a certain thing. And check it out. Does it fit with my heart and my head? You always got to trust your gut, follow your heart, and use your head. And allow your intuition to lead you in those places when it's alive and kicking and you're aware of it. Because it's always alive and kicking. You're just not aware of it. Do that for yourself and tell yourself this too will pass. This is an amazing planet and we are an amazing people and we get through things. We absolutely get through things. You just have to calm that voice in the back of your mind that says you won't and say, yes, I will. No matter what, yes, I will. And the very worst thing that can happen is we go to the other side and it's beautiful over there. We just don't want to go there before our time.
One question. I was talking to somebody about something and they had a premonition or something that prevented them from meeting some kind of horrible fate. I can't remember what it was. But the point is that you hear those stories all the time, and I think that's great. You know, I had a dental appointment, so I couldn't be at the Twin Towers when that horrible day happened on 9/11. But then I think about all the people who didn't make it out. And I said, that's the thing that I'd like to ask God about when the time comes is, okay, well, why them? I mean, that's the thing. And you said before asking why me, but why does God spare some people and why doesn't he spare others? I mean, any insights or thoughts on that? To some extent, I think it's just a mystery.
Well, I think it helps to know that death isn't the end. And so it's not a punishment. And that we all came here willingly and said, these are certain things that I want to get done. This is my list. And then there were other things that came up. For some, their story ended then. And they wouldn't understand it till they're on the other side. And they do understand it. But there was more for them to do on the other side. And their death allowed even more lessons for the people that are here that would accelerate their soul's growth. It sounds horrible. I have a very close friend that died. She's got little kids. What happened for that? Something in that helped propel their souls. And that seems really rough. That is the only way I've been able to look at it without feeling like I'm going to throw up. How's that? Because there is a reason. We are not privy to those reasons until we reach the other side, but it isn't a punishment when we die. We all have things that we're to do here, and I'm sure there's always going to be things we want to do here, but there are a lot of things that help our soul grow. If our soul has reached this point where it's going to help for it to go to the other side, rejuvenate, and then come back, that's what it's going to do. And only God knows all of that, and only God is in charge. We're not 100% in charge of that. That's God. And again, death is not a punishment, and that is the way that I have helped my clients reach some calm with it, because even though we miss our loved ones, and oh my, do we miss our loved ones, we can still feel them. They're still there, and when we feel our joy, that's where we'll find them.
That's another tough thing, is how do you delineate that? And we've talked about this before. When you feel you're getting a message from the other side, for example, and I think I even told you this story. One time I was driving over my elderly father, he's 86, and next year it will be 10 years that my mom passed. I mean, actually, no, yeah, next year it'll be 10 years. And so I've been kind of his caregiver. You know, I go over there and take him to the grocery store. I basically do everything for him, kind of. I mean, he can take care of himself. But I mean, that's my responsibility. I felt that he took care of me. And now it's my turn. That's just, I don't think it's anything special. I think that's what I'm supposed to do.
I do too, but I still think it's sweet.
Well, thank you. But the point being, he can feed himself and dress himself. So we're very fortunate in that way that he's high functioning and those kind of things. But he doesn't drive, so I've got to do all of it, which is fine. It's my job, is the way I look at it. And I'm glad to do it. But I remember driving over one day. And I wonder, because he doesn't like to get out a lot, and he's kind of a hermit. And I try to encourage him to go out, and he won't go out unless I take him and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I hope I'm doing right by him. I hope I'm doing a good job. And it wasn't an audible voice, but I felt that my mother spoke to me and said, and this is the way she would have said it too, you're doing a damn good job. But then I thought, well, maybe that's just my ego. How do I know that's her?
Because it came out of the blue. It is something that she would have said. It's not that your mind was activated. It was your spirit was activated because you were wondering. And it is exactly something she would have said. When you hear something out of the blue that is very relevant to your deceased loved one's personality, that is oftentimes them saying that. And then there's always this feeling like you can feel them, like how you felt when you were with them. All of a sudden you feel that. But that's not your ego. Absolutely not. In fact, you set your ego aside. And your dad, by the way, is afraid of going out without you. That's why he doesn't want to go out. He's just afraid. And I don't blame him because it's different. It's always so different when you don't do it all by yourself. Your mom's very proud of you. That's a great example. And they do. And they're watching out. And they're not judging you if you were going to go over Thursday, but you decided to go over Friday. It just doesn't exist that way. they're glad you're present for their loved one. And trust me, your dad and your mom are having lots of conversations. Even though your dad is still here solid, he's having lots of conversations with your mom, whether he's going to admit it or not.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, Jody, it is just, first of all, you're one of my favorite all-time guests. And I think this is my favorite interview I've ever done with you. It's just been so powerful, I think. And I think there's so much for people to learn and experience by listening to it. So I'm glad we got to cover these very topics. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to really kind of delve into a tough personal situation and kind of bring some light to people through it. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I couldn't think of anybody else I would rather do this with for the first time. You're such an amazing human. I just love you. And I love your wife too.
Well, thank you. So people are going to want to follow up and they're going to want to know more about everything you're doing, whether I know you talked about a book in the offing eventually. I know you're working on your YouTube channel. You've got these classes coming up. You do readings. So where can people plug in and find everything and what can they expect?
They go to my website, theintuitivecoach.com. There are links to all my social media because I'm pretty active. People kept my Twitter light shining as I was going through my surgeries. It's been great. And there's lots of links to free gift, you know, free, or as my husband always says, don't use free, complimentary things that I offer on my website. And what's coming up, I'm on Twin Cities Live on a regular basis, and I just love that television show. And they do stream, and there's links on my social media and my website to see that. And I'm always offering fun things that help lift people up because people lift me up. So it's a wonderful exchange.
Jody, thank you for joining us. I am so glad we are going to have you around for a long time to do many, many more appearances on the shows.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you to Jody. Just a very powerful interview and some great guidance for folks out there who are maybe going through a similar situation and tough times, how to navigate your way through it spiritually, mentally, and physically. And again, great salute to Jody. She's a great person, a great spirit, and a great survivor. If you enjoyed this show and the other ones we do, please do hit share and share them with a friend, particularly this spooky time of year. We're in the Halloween season, so happy Halloween to everybody. And if you're a super fan and say, hey, I want all these shows going back to 2005. I want the back catalog of Campfire going back to 2009. I want all that plus content. Well, we've got a couple different ways you can do it. It can be via Apple Podcasts, or if you're not an Apple Podcasts person, through all the other various platforms out there. All you got to do is go to jimheraldplus.com. That's jimheraldplus.com. Click on the banner, and from there, it's kind of choose your own adventure. Whether you're an Apple purist or you like freedom, cross-platform freedom, either way, you can pick the Plus Club that's best for you. And we appreciate all of our Plus Club supporters, our sponsors, and we appreciate you for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye.